Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Kama Daf Chaf. We are holding on daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. We are at the Gemara on Yud Tes Amud Beis, right after the Mishnah. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Shalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives who should all come home safely. We are holding, as I said, at the Gemara on right after the Mishnah on Yud Tes Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to discuss what is considered normal for animals to eat and what is considered abnormal for animals to eat, because if it's abnormal, then it would be like Karen. If it's normal, it would be like Shane. So the Gemara is going to discuss what if something is only normal for an animal to eat, al yidei adchak. How do we consider something like that? Then the Gemara is going to discuss, is there any case where an animal who eats in a Rishos HaRabim is going to be chayiv? Normally, Shane Rishos HaRabim is patur, ubir b'stei acher, it's got to be Rishos HaNizik. So is there a case where even Bereshus HaRabim, if the animal eats, it's going to be Chayiv? Then the Gemara is going to discuss what happens when damage is done to something that it shouldn't have been in a Bereshus HaRabim in the first place. This is what we call Kala Meshane Uba'achar Vishinabo. Someone was Meshane by putting something that does not belong in a Bereshus HaRabim in a Bereshus HaRabim, and then the damage was done in an unusual way. So do we assume that that's going to be Chayiv Nezek Shalim? That's going to be chayiv chatzin nezek or pater. How do we define that? How do we deal with such a case? Then the Gemara is going to discuss how do we assess a payment of hana'a, that in those cases where you don't have to pay the value of the item, you only have to pay the value of the hana'a. So how much is the value of the hana'a? So we're going to have two opinions, Rabba and Rava. We're going to have a brisa to support each one, and that's going to lead us into the primary sugya of the daf. And the primary sugya of the daf is zenene v'zelo chaser, that if one person gets hana'a and the other one that he got hana'a from did not lose out as a result of that hana'a, do I need to pay for the hana'a that I got? The Gemara is going to have five different rayas from Mishnayos on Amud Beis about zenene v'zelo chaser. And the Gemara is going to then come to a halachic conclusion about zenene v'zelo chaser toward the end of Amud Beis. So let's begin at the Gemara on Yud Tes Amud Beis. So it says, where Tan Rabbanan, Hashem Muad is Lech L'Sarayla, that Hashem is considered Muad, that it's going to be Chayiv Nezek Shalem, if the animal eats that which is normal to eat. Ketzad, Be'im Hashem Nechnes Lech L'Chatzar Nizik V'achla Ochlinar, an animal trespasses into chatzar nizik and eats that which it normally would eat. Mishalim nizik shalim pays nizik shalim. Mechain chayish nichsel chatzar nizik v'tarfa beim ava achla basar. Mishalim nizik shalim. Mechay goes into the chatzar nizik and it tears apart a behema and it eats its basar. Pays nizik shalim because that's normal for a chaya to do. And not only that, upara shachla saorin. If you have a para that eats in the chatzar nizik but eats saorin, which is normally a Michael Chamar, it's normally something that a donkey would eat, not that a paro would eat. The Chamar Shachla Karshiner, you have a donkey that eats Karshinen, which is normally the Michael of a para, the kelev shalike sashemen, or a dog that licks up oil, the chazir shachal chaticha shel basar, or a pig that eats a piece of meat, mishalim nezek shalim, that also pays nezek shalim as normal shein, even though it's not the most typical diet for these animals. But since b'shas adchak, when there's no regular food for these animals, they would eat this food, it's considered a maichala ra'uila, and therefore you have to pay nezek shalim midin shein. That's the chiddush of these particular items. Tosfos raises the question, how can you say that a chazir, it's not normal for a chazir to eat basar, el al yidei adchak? There's a Mishnah, Maseches Alos, in the 18th parak, that tells us that in a house where Nachrim have lived, you have to assume the whole place is tameh, because they bury their nephalim, they bury their miscarried fetuses in their homes. But a place where chazirim and chuldos are mitsuyim, then you don't have to be choshesh. Why? Because a chazir will always just eat up the flesh. So don't you have the nephalim? So don't you see that it's the derech of a chazir to eat flesh, that you make an automatic assumption that even though the nachrim are burying their nephalim in these homes, that if there's a chazir around it, for sure ate it. So it's apparently very normal for you to eat basar. So that's what Tosfos in Dibra Maskil, the chazir answers in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that even though it's not the derech of a chazir to eat basar, but it eats basar nephalim because basar nephalim is very soft, so it doesn't eat regular basar, which could be more tough, but it would still eat a nefel. The Rashba asks a different question, that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos writes in the Davayin Vav that achila al yedei erchak is not considered achila. So if a person is motzi mirushus lirushus, he's motzi a food that's only ro'oi al yedei erchak, it's only ro'oi from tir al yedei erchak, he's potter, because that's not considered a davar chashuv, it's not considered a real meichel. L'chore in our sugi, you see that achila al yedei erchak is called achila, because when we're identifying what's shein, what's normal for an animal to eat, we say that which it eats, al yedei erchak, is normal for it to eat. So how come in Masechta Shabbos we say that if you're motzi mirushus lirushus, a davar meichel that you would only eat al yedei erchak, that that's not called hotza'a, because that's not called a meichel, and yet over here by the animals, eating when it comes to shein, we say achila al yedei erchak is called achila. So the Rashba says, well, when it comes to hotza'a Shabbos, it's not about whether it's called achila, it's about whether this is a davar chashuv. So something that you don't need al yedei erchak is not a davar chashuv. Over here by Shein, it's about whether it's called achila. So achila al yedei erchak is called achila. Martz Chayis just says it could just be a difference between humans and animals. The legabe adam achila al yedei erchak is not considered achila. Legabe behemos, maybe achila al yedei erchak is called achila. In Shabbos, we were talking about humans carrying on Shabbos. Over here, we're talking about animals and what's considered to be Shein. So Gemara discusses other cases of achila al yedei erchak. Omra papa, hashadam rekomidid lavorche va'achla al yedei erchak, shmei achila, once you're going to tell me that anything that's not totally normal for the animal to eat, but it would eat it all day at chak, that that's called achila, hay shun radachli tamri, if a cat ate some dates, v'cham radachl binisa, or a chamor ate some fish, mishalim nezik shalim, it's going to pay nezik shalim, because that's also achila yedei erchak. Hu chamra, there was a story with a donkey, da'achol nahama, that ate bread, upalsi l'sala, and also chewed up the basket that the bread was in. So chivir rabidu l'shalim nezik shalim, and ahama v'asal l'chatzi nezek. Rav Yehuda said, you pay nezek shalim for the bread and chatzi nezek for the basket. Well, if the bread was in the basket, isn't it pretty usual for it to destroy the basket on its way to eating the bread? So why would it be only chatzi nezek on the basket? No, it ate the bread, basket was intact, and then it went back to chew on the basket. So that's unusual, and that's therefore going to be chatzi nezek. So frankly, Gemara, but wait, you're telling me that it's normal for a donkey to eat bread. Upas urcheyu, is it normal for a chamor to eat bread? Or a minu, I'll ask you a stira from a brisa. A brisa says, achla pas ubasar v'tavshil mishalim chatzi nezek. That if it eats pas, basar, and tavshil, it pays chatzi nezek. My love, bebehema, aren't we talking about like a chamor, like a regular behema? And you see that it's not the derech of a behema to eat lechem? So says, no, it's not talking about a behemoth, it's talking about a chaya, it's talking about a wild beast, and a wild beast does not normally eat lechem. Says Gemara, yeah, but we didn't just say lechem, we said pas ubasar v'tavshil. So you want to tell me that a chaya doesn't eat lechem, okay, but you can tell me a chaya doesn't eat basar? Chaya, basar urcheu. It's absolutely normal for a chaya to eat basar. Says we're not all basar. Dematvi. Maybe we're talking about meat that was roasted, and a chaya doesn't eat roasted meat. V'iba yaseima. Or maybe we could say that the Braisa is not talking about a stam chaya, but rather betavya. It's talking about a deer who does not eat basar nor lechem. So a deer has a very unusual diet where it eats neither pas nor basar nor tavshil. Or maybe with the brisa is in fact talking about a behemah. Again, the brisa said that if you eat pas, basar, or tavshil, it pays only chatzi nezek, because those are all unusual things. But we said this doesn't fit any known animal, because a behemah typically does eat pas, a chaya typically does eat basar. So one answer is, well, a tzvi. A tzvi eats neither of those things. Second answer is, really, it is talking about a behema, ubipatura. The bread was placed on a table, and even though it's true that a behema typically will eat bread, it typically will not eat bread off of a table. That's the way Rashi understands. The Rashba asks, how could you say that achila off of a table is considered to be a shinui? If it's a derech of a behema to eat bread, it shouldn't matter where the bread is. If it wants a certain food and it's somewhere, it's going to take it from wherever it is. The animal's not going to see the table, the bread on the table, and say, "Oh wait, I'm not such a mensch that I eat from a table." No, if it's there, he's going to go and he's going to take it. So that's why the Rashba says there's a different gears in the Gemara, not ubipatura, but rather ubipatuta. That it means a pas that's very crumbly bread that they would put in the soup. That's like a croutons, and apparently the behemoth doesn't eat such bread. It eats loaves of bread, but it doesn't eat such crumbs of bread. The Rashash writes that the poskim don't bring this din, that if the behemoth takes the bread from the shulchan, that it's considered a shinoi, because the very next few lines of Gemara indicate that it doesn't matter where the bread is. We're about to see in the next couple of lines of Gemara that wherever the bread is, it's completely normal. Ha'u Barcha, there was a goat, the Chazal Lifta Apuma Dedana, saw a type of vegetable, a turnip or something, placed on a opening of a barrel, Sarich Salik, and it grabbed the barrel with its legs and held it up, and Achla Lifta V'Tavri L'Dana, and it ate the turnip and it broke the barrel. So Chivei Rava Alifta V'Adana Nezek Shalem. Rava says Chayiv Nezek Shalem for both of these things. My time, why is it that Rava was Mechayiv Nezek Shalem even on the barrel? It's not normal for a goat to break barrels. Isn't that Meshuna? And shouldn't it be like Karen where you only pay Chatzi Nezek? Well, Kivin Dorche L'Mecha Lifta, since it's normal for a goat to eat bread, or Chenami L'Shrucha L'Mislak, it's also normal, and here's the line that I referred to before, for it to jump up and grab the barrel and do whatever damage it does to the barrel. So apparently, wherever the bread is that it wants, whether it's on a table, whether it's on a barrel, whether it's, even though it's not the way an animal normally eats, wherever the bread is, it's going to do that. It's going to find the bread and it's going to eat it, and that's all considered normal, and therefore the destruction of this barrel is also considered normal. Amar Ilfa, Behema Bershasram, Ilfa, who's famous from Maseches Tainis, he was Rabbi Yochanan's Chavrusa, and then he went out to work. A behema that's in a Rishus HaRabim, Upashtet Tzavar V'Achla Me'al Gabi Chavirta, and it sticks out its neck, and it eats food from on top of its friend's back, meaning the another animal was walking with food on its back, so this animal just reaches over and eats food off of the other animal's back. So Chayabas, it's Chayav Tzpey Nezek Shalim, it's Shein Bershus HaNizik, Mai Taima Gabi Chavirta, Gabi Chavirta K'chatzar Nezek Dami. The back of the other animal is considered the Chatzar Nezek. Even though they're both walking in the Rishus Rabbim, the animal is its own Rishus, so whatever's on its back is in the Rishus HaNizik. Lema Misayele, I'll bring you a raya to what Ilfa says from a Braisa, Haisu Kupaso, that if it had a basket, that if someone had a basket that was hanging behind him, and upashtet zavar vachli menu, an animal sticks out its neck and eats from that basket, chayeves, it's chayev, exactly like Ilfa said, that even though it's happening in the Rosh Hashanah, since the behemah is eating from a kli that's on your person, so that's considered like shein b'rishus hanizik, so you pay nezik shalem. So it says not necessarily a riot to Ilfa, k'dam rava b'kofetzes hachinami b'kofetzes. That just like in some other context, Rava made an ukimta, that it's talking about an animal that's jumping on its hind legs, so too, that's what this price might be talking about, that the behemoth was kofetzes and ate from the kupa. So since that's a shinoi, so it's going to be mishalim, chati nezik in Rosh Hasharabim, because that becomes keren per Rosh Hasharabim. But maybe if it eats in a normal way off of its friend's back, that's not considered Karen. I mean, we know that's not considered Karen. Maybe that's considered Shane Birushos Harabim, not Shane Birushos HaNizik. So that's the Dechiyah of the Raya to Ilfa. The Rashba points out it's a Dechiyah, but it doesn't mean that we actually reject Ilfa. The Gemara is just saying you can't prove from this Brisa necessarily that Ilfa is correct, but nevertheless, Rashba says Pashtus is that the Brisa does is aligned with Ilfa, because it says Pashta Tzavara. It didn't say Kaftza. It didn't say it jumped on its hind legs. It said that it stuck out its neck, which implies that that's all it did in order to access the food, and yet the Braisa still said Yechayiv, so Pashtus is, it means that Yechayiv Nezek Shalim, like Shein Bereshus HaNizik. Ve'heichayit Marta Rava. Now, we just alluded to the idea that Rava said that Rava made an ukimta somewhere about an animal climbing up on its hind legs. Where did he ever say such a thing? Ahadam Rabbi Yoshaya, on that which Rabbi Yoshaya said, that Behema Bereshus Harabim, Halcha V'Yachla Petura, Amda V'Yachla Chayavis, and Behema Bereshus Harabim, if it eats as it's walking, it's Potter, but if it stands still and eats, it's Chayiv. So Maishna Halcha Du'Urchehu, Amda Nami Urchehu. Why would there be a difference? They're both very normal things for an animal to do. When an animal stands still and eats, we should pater it for the same reason, because it's the derech of a behema to eat even b'shas amidasan. So it's shein b'rishus rabim in either case. So the animal should be pater, and animals pater a shein b'rishus rabim. So I'm a rava b'kofetzes. No, when he said a behema is omedes, he doesn't mean standing still. He means like standing like a human, that it climbs, it jumps up on its two hind legs. That's what omedes means. And that's an unusual thing to do. And since it's an unusual thing to do, it becomes Karen Bereshus HaRabim, and Karen Bereshus HaRabim is chayiv chatzi nezek. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses a new shayla. By Rabbi Zera, miskalgel mahu. What if the behema moved the food from one rishus to the other and then ate it in the second rishus? Do we look at where the behema found the food or where the behema ate the food? So you have an animal walking rishus ram. There's food there. There's a basket of fruits there. Animal, shoves the basket over to the rishus hayachid and eats it in the rishus hayachid. So is that shein rishus ram? Because that's where the animal found the food, or is that shein rishus hayachid? So what would be an example? The kaima amir brishos hayachid. The Gemara goes with the opposite case. You have a bundle of fruit that's in a rishos hayachid, v'kamiskal gavasim rishos hayachid rishos ram, and the behema pushes the food from the rishos hayachid into a rishos harabim, and then it eats it there. So, my, do we view it as a rishos hayachid where you're going to be chayav for shein brishos hayachid, or brishos harabim where it's going to be potter for shein brishos harabim? So the Rishonim point out, right? Rashi and others, that the same suffix would apply in the opposite direction. I mean, it doesn't matter which direction we're going in over here. In fact, there's another girsa in the Gemara that actually says that the Gemara raises the Rabbeinu Chanan, such a girsa where the Gemara raises the suffix in the opposite direction, but it's all the same. So Tashimas, let's bring a raya. The Tani Rabbi Chia Masli, if you have a bundle of food, let's say a bag full of barley, Miktsasu Bifnin, and some of it is in the Rosh Hashiachin, was Miktsasu Bechutz, and some in the Rosh Hashirabim, Achla Bifnin Chayeves, Achla Bechutz Petura. If the animal ate from it in the Rosh Hashayachid, he's Chayev, in the Rosh Hashayachid, he's Pater. So what does that mean exactly? So my love, Miskalgil Va'asi, isn't the Brisa talking about a case where the behema moved the bag from one Rosh Hashayachid to the other, and Achla Bifnin means that it moved it from a Rosh Hashayachid into a Rosh Hashayachid and ate it there, and we're saying that it's Chayev as Shein B'Rosh Hashayachid, because I look at where the animal ate the food, and if it Achla b'chutz means that it was sitting in Rosh Hashayachid and the animal moved it to Rosh Hashirabim and ate it there, that you're potter, because that's called shein b'Rosh Hashirabim, and therefore we could be poshet the suffix of Rabbi Zeira, that you see that we look at where the animal ate the food, not where the animal found the food, says Gemara Lo. Now, the Bryce is not necessarily talking about that case. Ema, it could be that the Bryce means that if the animal moved it from one rishus to the other, achla al masha bifnim chayeves, then that which was initially bifnim, it's going to be chayev for, al masha b'chutz, that which was initially b'chutz, Petura, the animal is going to be potter for. Meaning it's not dependent on where the animal ate it. To the contrary, the Brisa might be saying it's all dependent on where the animal found it. And that's the real issue. Ibai Sema, or a third way to understand this Brisa, Hikam Rabbi Chia Bipsila Daaspasta. Maybe it's not talking about where the animal moved anything anywhere. It's talking about these long vegetables that are half in Rosh Hashiach and half in Rosh Hashirabim, and it ate all of them where they were. So the ones that are in Rosh Hashiach that it ate from the Rosh Hashiach is Chayiv for, the ones that were in Rosh Hashiach that it ate from the Rosh Hashiach, but they're from, but the Makom Achila and the Makom that it found it are exactly the same place. So three ways to understand this Brisa. One is that the animal moved the item from one rishus to the other, and we look at where the animal ate it. Another is that it moved from one rishus to the other, and we look at where the animal found it. And third way is that it's not talking about moving from one rishus to the other at all. So we can't prove anything from this Brisa. Now we move on. The Mishnah had said that achlo ksus, that behema is a muad to eat that which is ra'ui for it to eat. But if it's eating clothing or kelim, that's mishuna, and you only pay chatzi nezek. And Rosh Hashirabim, you're always going to be potter. So the Gemara wants to understand what exactly is the case where we potter shein b'Rosh Hashirabim, aheya. Which case is that's mentioned earlier in the Mishnah, do we say that shein b'Rosh Hashirabim is potter? Is it only on the case of the Reisha, that a shein that's ocheles kedarka is potter b'Rosh Hashirabim? Or is it even in a case where it ate ksus v'kelim? Meaning one could make an argument that because ksus v'kelim are less normal for an animal to eat, so dafka when it does it in Rosh Hashirabim, it's going to be chayiv, because that makes it keren, as opposed to Shein, and Karen is chayiv in Rosh Hashirabim. So Merav Akulu, the din that your potter, if it eats in Rosh Hashirabim, is even going on a case where it eats ksus v'kelim b'Rosh Hashirabim. My time, why would it be potter if it eats ksus v'kelim? After all, aren't you chayiv mishum Karen b'Rosh Hashirabim? And isn't it a mishunadika thing to do, an unusual thing to do, to eat ksus v'kelim? Now, kalim eshalo b'achar v'shina bo potter. It's because anytime someone does something unusual in Rosh Hashirabim, like someone who puts his this ksus v'kelim out there in Rosh Hashanah, totally unusual thing to do, and then an animal comes and destroys it in a very unusual way, then the Bailam is pater from paying the Dmei HaNezek. Because the first party did something that was unusual and improper as well by putting the stuff there in the first place. Ushmuel amar lo shanu ella peros v'yirakos. Shmuel disagrees with Rav. And he says, no, if the animal eats peros in Rosh Hashanah, that's shein v'Rosh Hashanah, you're pater. But if the animal eats ksus v'kelem in Rosh Hashanah, that's karen, and you're going to be chayiv, chatzi nezek. V'cheinom Reish Lakish akulu. Reish Lakish agrees with Rav. V'az Reish Lakish tamei, and Reish Lakish holds lishi tasa. So, if you have two paros that are in Rosh Hashanah, achas revutza, one is crouching down, v'achas ma'aleches, and the other one is walking, bata ma'aleches revutza p'tura. If the walking one kicks the revutza one, the one that's crouching down, it's pater, even though it's a type of keren, and keren is chayav in Rosh Hashanah, because the para that was rovetzes was doing something mishunadik, was doing something unusual. And the rule is, kol mishana b'achar mishina bo, is going to be pater. But revutza b'ma'aleches chayav. If the revutza para kicks the maleches one, then it's going to be chayeves. Rabbi Yochanan amar lo shanu ela peros v'yirakos al ksus v'kelim chayeves. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish and says that no. When do we say shein is pater Rosh Hashanah? If it eats normal foods, that's shein. But if it eats ksus v'kelim, that's keren, and you're chayev in Rosh Hashanah. So lema Rabbi Yochanan lesle de Reish Lakish afil b'shtei paros. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan clearly disagrees with Reish Lakish with regard to eating ksus v'kelim in Rosh Hashanah. Rabin. But Reish Lakish said this din of Kol Mishanu Barachar Vishinubo Chayeves in two contexts. He spoke about eating an animal that eats Ksus V'Kelim in Rosh Hashanah, and he also spoke about the two cows. One of them is Ravutza, one of them is Malachas. Does Rabbi Yochanan necessarily disagree about the case of the two cows as well? Or does he only disagree about the case of the Achilas Ksus V'Kelim? So says Gemara, lo. Liyolam Islay. Excuse me. That really, Rabbi Yochanan might agree to Reish Lakish about the case of the two cows. Ksus avdi inchi demanchi glimi umetapchi. Aval behem alav orche. Meaning it could be that it's not so unusual to put ksus v'kelim down in Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes a person is resting and they put down their suitcase in Rosh Hashanah, so it's not so unusual to put ksus v'kelim. But for an animal to be revutza b'Rosh Hashanah, that is very unusual. So maybe in principle, Rabbi Yochanan agrees. Kol ha'mishana b'achar v'shina bo, you're going to be chayavas. You can be pater, but the case, it's just simply that he holds that the case of ksus v'kelim is not mishana. It's not called a mishana b'achar v'shina bo. It's just that the animal did straight up keren on something that should have been and is normal for it to be in Rosh Hashanah. That's where Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish. Then we had said in the Mishnah that v'im nenis, mishalem es mashanenis, that if the animal got hana'a from eating that which was unusual, so it at least pays for the hana'a. So v'kama, how do you measure how much to pay for hana'a? Machlokas, rabba amir d'mei amir. Now you pay for how much it would cost to eat straw, even though it's not what it ate. It ate sa'orim, so you pay for the cheaper product. Rav Amar Dmei Sa'orim Bezul. You would pay for the cheapest price that you would ever find for sa'orim, which Rashi says we assess as 2/3 of the price of what sa'orim actually are. He gets that number from a Gemara in the end of Maseches Baba Basra. Tanya Kavaseid Rava. We have a brisa that supports Rava, and Tanya Kavaseid Rava. We have a brisa that supports Rava. Tanya Kavaseid Rava. The brisa that supports Rava is as follows. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ein Mishalem that you only pay the value of amir, the value of straw and hay, things that are much cheaper than sa'orim, which is exactly what Rabba said. Tanya kavase de Rava, and we have a price that says just like Rava, imnenis mishalemis mashanenis keitzad, how do you assess that which you got hana'a, the amount that you got hana'a, achla kav o kabayim, if the behemi eats a kav or two kavs, Ein omim tishalim demeyan. You don't say that you pay the value as it's sold in the shuk. Ela omdin kam adam rotz alach lebento dover roila. You have to assess how much a person would want to feed his behema. The value of saorim in a proper measure, not a kavu kavayim, which is way too much for an animal to eat for lunch. Aval pishein oragil, even though it's not normal for it to eat saorim, it normally just eats kash v'teven. So since the basis so the chiyuv is because the Baal Behema wants to feed it something that's ra'ila, l'fichachach l'chitin o'davar ha'ra'la petura. So if it ate in Rosh Hashanah, some chitin or something that's actually bad for it, then you'd be patur l'gamri, because then it's not even, there is no nehenis. It didn't get anah because it ate something that was actually unhealthy for the animal. Okay, so now we move on to the idea of zenen of zelo chaser, and the concept of paying for hana'a even when it didn't cost the person who gave you the hana'a anything. So I'm Rav Chisla Rami Bar Chama, lo avas kaban bu'urta bitchuma. You know, we missed you last night in the Beis Medrash. We would have loved your input on the shayla we were discussing. We were mesupak about dvarim chashuvim. So Amr, my mili ma'al yisa, what were the lofty inyanim you were talking about? So I'm leh, hadabr chatzachavir shlami daito, tzarech alo sachar o'ein tzarech. If a person lives in another person's chatzar without his permission, without his knowledge, does he have to pay him rent afterwards? Say, chidami, what's the case exactly? Someone just sent me this morning, right before the shir, I saw someone sent me that a shayla was brought up in Israel, that in one of the towns in the south, where many people evacuated, but not everybody was evacuated. Some people stayed, so one guy moved into someone else's house because it was more secure. So he moved into a place that he felt safer. It was his friend's house. The friend came back 2-3 weeks later. So what are you doing in my house? So it was a more secure place. So okay, so pay me for it, for the time that you spent in my house. He said, well, you weren't here. What difference does it make to you that I was in your house? I was just looking for a more secure location. I don't know if it was a made up shayla just to fit the daf or not, but you know, sounds like it. But anyways, either way, it's you know, it does fit the daf. So the shayla is, does he have to pay or not? So tzarech alo sachar o ein tzarech. Zeh chidami. If we're talking about a chatzar that you can't rent out, it has no rental value. Vegaver, the love of the megar, and the guy who lives in it is not in the market to pay for a rental, because there are plenty of houses that he could borrow for free. So then zelonene, the guy who lives in it didn't really get any real hana because he could have lived somewhere for free. Vizelo chaser, and the person whose house it was didn't lose out because it's not like there were other possibilities of renting it. Ela b'chatzar tekaim. So then, of course, you don't have to pay. No, maybe we're talking about a place that has rental value, and the guy doesn't have another free place to live. Wherever he lives, he's going to have to pay rent. Well, then, so the person who's living there is getting hana. The person who owns the property is losing out on rental value. So then, of course, you're going to have to pay. So it must be that we're talking about a chatzar that you normally would not rent out, and therefore it does not have any rental value, and it's a gavrata of the megar. But the person who's living there would otherwise have to pay for a rental. So my, what's the din? Could the person who's living there say, I didn't cost you anything because you weren't going to make any money anyway? Or maybe the owner of the property could say, well, you were going to have to pay for rent otherwise, and now you don't have to pay for rent, so you got hana from this. So Rami Bachama responded to Rav Chista that this is in fact a Mishnah. So he said, hey Masnisen, really? Where? Which Mishnah is it? So Amalei, Rami Bachama said, I'll tell you, but l'chita shamishli. First you have to be mishamish me a little bit, you have to do me a favor, and then I'll give you my answer. So what did he do? Shakal sudre karachle, Rav Chista took the sudar, the turban of Rami Bachama, and he folded it up. So Amalei, Rami Bachama said, ah, okay, so now I'll tell you the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about a behema that ate perus in Rosh Hashanah, that the Baal behema was nana, because its para ate and the balaperos didn't lose out. So imnenis mashalem is mashanenis. So and we said that you pay for the hana'a. So you see that zenen of zeluchas, you chayiv to pay for the hana'a. It's an interesting conversation. Why do you tell him, you know, you have to service me, you have to do me a favor first, and only when you do me a favor, only then will I teach you something. So Maritz Chayis points out that any malachos, the halacha is kol malachos she'eved osel rabo talmud osel rabo. That anything in eved is chayiv to do for his master, a Talmud has to do for his Rebbe. And there's also halacha that alomi davarach mechavero tzarech lekrosa Rebbe alufi. That if someone teaches you a dvar halacha, you have to refer to him as a Rebbe. So he says, you want me to be your Rebbe? Treat me like a Rebbe. Meaning in that context, he was teaching him the derech of kavod for a Rebbe. That meaning he had him do a maisa avdus as a way of telling him that both of those halachas at the same time. That Rabbi, are you asking me to teach you something? You're asking me to become your Rebbe. And if I'm becoming a Rebbe, then you have to know how to treat a Rebbe. And the way to treat a Rebbe is that anything that an Eved does for his master, a Talmud does for his Rebbe. Rav Shimon Shkap in the Akdamat Shari Yosher has a famous vart that he quotes from his brother-in-law, I think, on this topic, where he writes, why is it that he didn't want to teach him until he was Meshamishim? He said, because sometimes, when something requires a certain amount of Iyun and Yagia, the ability of the Talmud to understand will correlate directly to the reverence with which he holds his Rebbe. That if he thinks that the Rebbe, you know, if he's going to judge it completely, like, you know, does it make sense or not, and it takes a lot of Yagiyah Va'amal to really understand it, so people are so lazy that, you know, we'll sooner dismiss it than work hard to understand it. So say, he doesn't know what he's talking about, he's an idiot. You know, we'll just dismiss it. But if we have a proper amount of reverence for the person who's teaching it, so then we know that the Chisaron is in us, so if they're teaching something, so I know that I have to work really hard in order to be able to try to understand it. So he wanted to create that imbalance in the relationship where you know that he's serving him, so he's treating him like a Rebbe, like an Adam Chashuv, and now once you do that, now you're going to be ready to focus in on what I'm about to teach you and the depth of what I'm about to teach you. Anyway, it didn't work. Rava didn't like the answer. I'm a Rava. Kamalu Chalib Lo Margish Gavr Demari Siayi. That Rami Bar Chama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him by having him give such a ridiculous raya that doesn't even work anyway, and it was accepted. It was not at all similar to the Mishnah, and somehow Rav Chisda was mekabelit from him. So it did work, I guess, but the point is Rava was able to call out the bluff. Meaning Rava said, it just doesn't make any sense. The two don't compare to each other. Why? The case of the behema eating the peros in Rosh Hashanah Rabim and being chayiv is a case where the Baal Behema is nene and the Baal Peros is chaser, the haizen and if it's lo chaser, who in the case of living in someone else's property is zenen of zelo chaser. Rami Bar Chama, so what was Rami Bar Chama thinking? So he thought, stam peros b'shram afkurim afkur lehu. No, once peros are excuse me, are out of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you're totally mafkir them. Uh-huh. And if you're mafkir them, they have no value, so you're not going to get any. So it's zen lo chaser. It's not called zen chaser. So Rabbi Bar Chama thought that it was a very accurate comparison. So now the Gemara says, okay, let's try to bring other rayas. Tanan, we have a Mishnah, Misach Bam Basha. If a person has three fields surrounding his friend's field, Reuven has three fields surrounding Shimon's fields, and Reuven builds a fence between fields 1, 2, and 3, on the three borders between his fields and Shimon's fields, you can't be mechayiv Shimon, the inner guy, to pay anything because he's not nene from that fence building because his field remains wide open on the fourth side, so it doesn't really afford him any protection. Oh, haravias, but it sounds like if Reuven would have had four fields on four sides of Shimon and he built that fourth side as well, so mechayiv also, we'd be able to mechayiv Shimon for the fences that Reuven put up. Shema. You see that Shimon is being nene from the fences, and Reuven doesn't lose anything from Shimon's hana'a because he has to build fences for his own fields anyway, and yet we would be mechayiv Shimon to pay. So you see, zenen v'zel l'chasur is chayiv. So it says, no, shiny hasam da amalei. No, that case is different because Reuven can say to Shimon, at karamtali akefi yaseira, you caused me to have to build more fencing because if your field wasn't among my fields, I would have only needed outer fences and all my fields would have been protected. Now that you have a field right in the middle, I need to be makif my field with an additional fence aside from the outer fences to protect from your field. So that's Zenen of Zeh Chaser, and that's why he's going to be Chayiv. So Tashima says, Markel, let's try another Raya in the Sugya of Zenen of Zeh Chaser. Amar Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, if after Reuven built three fences around the field, so Shimon is now surrounded on three sides with fences, now Shimon gets up, v'gadar sarvis, and he builds the fourth fence, megalgulin alavas kol. Now Shimon is going to have to pay for the price of the first three fences as well, for his share in that. Time in the gadar nikif, sounds like he only has to pay for it because he
built it. Hamakif, but if the makif, if Reuven would have been the one to build the fourth fence, then pater, then Shimon would be pater. Ooh, Shmamina Zenen of Zelu Chaser pater. So you see that Zenen of Zelu Chaser is pater, because this would have been a case of Zen Nene, where Shimon was being Nene, and Reuven didn't cost him any extra. He needed to build fences anyway, and you see that Shimon does not have to pay. So it says Marano, Shiny Asim Damale, the Didi Sagli bin Tir Barzuza. In that case, it's different, because Shimon could say to Reuven, that you didn't have to build a fence made out of stone. For me, a fence made out of thorns would have been, which has cost almost nothing, would have been plenty to make a separation between our properties. So the hana'ah you gave me is very minimal. So more than a zuz, it's a zelonena, and therefore it's going to be pater. So Tashma says, well, let's try another raya. Habayis v'aliyah shel shnayim. It's a Mishnah Maseches Bava Metzia. You have a house, a ground level apartment, and a second story apartment that belonged to two people. Shenaflu, and the whole place caved in. So Amar Balaliyah LeBalabayis Livno. So the guy who lived on the top floor tells the guy who lives on the bottom floor, you got to build your house so that I can rebuild my aliyah so that I have where to live. V'enerotza, the guy who lived on the bottom floor is not interested in building. So Arei Balaliyah Bonabayis, so the Balaliyah could just build a ground level apartment. V'yoshivachit and Lutz Yosef, and he could stay living in that ground floor apartment until the guy who lived initially in the ground floor pays him for the expenses of building that house, and then the Balaliyah will build up the second floor. So it sounds like it's Yosef the Mechayev Le Balabais Haschar Lo, that the Balabais only has to pay for his expenses to the Bala Aliyah, but he does not have to pay for the schar of that which he's living in the house. Meaning the schar of living there, he doesn't have to pay. So Shema Mina Zenen of Zelu Chaser Pater. So you see that the Bala Aliyah is Nene, meaning he doesn't have to pay rental to the Balabais, because even though he's being Nene, because if he didn't live in that house, he would have had to rent somewhere else, but the Balabais not chaser, because the Balabais had no interest in building that place in the first place. So you see that Zenen of Zelu Chaser is Pater. Says Marno, Shiny Hassam, the base of Aliyah Mishtabed. In that case, it's different because the bias is Meshubad to have an Aliyah on it. So since there's the Baal Aliyah has a Zuchus, that the Baal HaBayis has to be Sovel, the Aliyah has to support the Aliyah. So because of that, he has the right to live in the house until his expenses are paid. So that's not considered Nene Mimamun Chavero. He's not being Nene from somebody else's stuff because you had an obligation to provide me with a place to live. So Tashma says, we'll try another Raya. Rabbi Yudo Omer, Afzeh Hadar b'chatzar chavero. A Baal Aliyah lives in the chatzar of the Baal HaBayis Shalomi Daito. Tzarech la'alos lo sachar. He does have to pay for the for rental value of the house. So Shema mina zenen of zelo chaser chayiv. Don't you see that that's a case of zenen of zelo chaser, that you're going to be chayiv? So it says Marno, Shaini Asim, over there it's different in a brand new house because mishum shachrusa da'ashyasa. Because if it's a brand new house, anyone living there is going to take away that new feeling from the house. The walls are going to be somewhat blackened, and therefore it's considered chaser. So Shalchua Beiravami, the Bnei Yeshiva sent this suffix about Zenen Zel Chaser. After we tried all these rayas and we didn't get anywhere with these rayas, so he sent the Shaila to Rabbi Ami. So Amar Rabbi Ami said, "V'chima asalo u'ma chisro." What did the guy who lived in the house? What did he do to him, and what did he cost him at all? U'ma hiziko. What damage did he do, and therefore he doesn't have to pay at all? So they sent it Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. They sent it to Rabbi Chia Bar Abba as well. Amar Nisya. He said, you know, we need to think about this. Then they sent it again to Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Why are you sending me the same shayla so many times? You think I didn't answer because I'm ignoring you? If I had an answer, I would have sent you an answer. But I'm stuck. It's a really good shayla about Zenen of Zelu Chaser. So Rabbi Ami was pretty confident that Zenen of Zelu Chaser is going to be pater. Rabbi Chia Bar Abba didn't know what to do with the case of Zenen of Zelu Chaser. He wasn't sure if you're going to be Chayav or Pater. So Gemara brings Machlokas Amorayim, what Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is in the case of Dar B'chatzar Chaver Shalom Midaito. Itmar Rav Kahana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Eino Tzarech La'alos Lo Sachar. That Rabbi Yochanan says you don't have to pay him. Rabbi Yavo Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tzarech La'alos Lo Sachar. You do have to pay for it. Amar Rav Papa Had Rabbi Yavo La Beferish Itmar El Michlola Itmar. That which Rabbi Yavo said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't really hear it from Rabbi Yochanan. He heard something else from Rabbi Yochanan, and he was medayek that Rabbi Yochanan must hold which one was Rabbi Avo, that you have to pay for it. That he only was medayek it, but the diuk is not really such a good diuk, and therefore you have to take it with a grain of salt. So what was the diuk? What did he hear Rabbi Yochanan say? So Bezer Hashem will pick up with that tomorrow, with the two deos of Rabbi Yochanan and where they got it from. Okay, have a great day, everybody.